Blog Talk Radio.
Waking up to smells of burnt rubber, smoldering campfire, and barbecue sauce. I was there. Cheering on the drivers you love and booing the ones you don't, while watching them battle the baddest track in NASCAR. You can bet I was there. Escape reality for a weekend at Talladega.
The chase for the Sprint Cup returns October 23rd through 25th. Call 1-877-GO-2-DEGA for tickets. This is more than a race. This is Talladega.
Hi, I'm Harrison Burton, driver of the number 12 Dex Imaging Toyota Camry, and you're listening to Pit Stop with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening from Talladega, Alabama. I'm your host, Tim Despain, alongside of my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson from Richmond, Virginia. At this time, we've got our good friend from out there in Paris, California, Mr. Reverend Joe. Let's bring Reverend Joe on, and let's get this party started. We got a big show tonight, so let's bring Reverend Joe in the Pit Stop. Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing great, buddy. How's everybody there?
Great. We are great. And I know you talk about weather and stuff, but we got a little bit of rain, but the temperature's sort of cooling off. We're doing great. And I know you're going out to Vegas for the NASCAR Temporal Truck Series race this weekend. And you're going to be, I guess, next weekend on the show and give us all your feedback from out there and everything. But, Reverend, we've got tonight, our guest, we got crew chief of the number 11 Toyota Tundra for Ben Kennedy in Red Horse Racing in the NASCAR Champion Royal Truck Series. Mr. Scott Zipadilla is coming up on the bottom of the hour, and it's top of the hour. We got my good friend, Randy Maglite. He traveled up to the Kentucky Speedway this weekend. We're going to get his insight at the top of the hour, but you got the floor, bud. Let's go and get the party started.
You got to realize that Scott Zipadilla, I've known since he was a little kid.
That's awesome, bud.
We all raced together, and his dad and his older brother and all the rest. I mean, I've known Scotty since he was a little kid, so harass him a little for me. Let's get to it, because I know you've got a busy show, so let's go before the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for all you do for us and the things that we just take for granted, just our very breath. Without you, we wouldn't be able to breathe. You know us inside and out, and we thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for the things you do to keep us safe. We ask right off the bat for your blessings upon all those in our military, all those in our government, all the people that make the decisions, our lives. We ask you to protect our soldiers, be with their families at home as they're missing their family members that are away in the military. We ask you to bless everything they do and also give the people who are making these decisions the right intelligence to make the proper decisions for us. We ask you to bless everybody involved with auto racing, from the smallest person who people don't even realize all the way up through. Special blessings on all the officials, the crew members, the people that are down there on pit road in a dangerous way. But over the years, I've realized, Lord, that the people that clean the bathrooms are every bit as important as the people who drive the race cars. And we need to remember to thank them all. So I pray for all of them and their lives. So be with us all as we go into another weekend. And as I travel off to the Camping World Truck Race in Vegas, and the rest of the teams are out in Dover, keep an eye on all of them. Bless them. Keep them safe. And be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff.
Thank you.
Reverend Joe, I say it week in and week out. I'm going to say it again. Great invocation, but we want to thank you for being our official Reverend of the Pit Stop Radio with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
I'm honored to do it. And, you know, like we said, we're getting ready to go to Vegas, and we'll bring you a report next week. But also, like all the folks out there, to please post it on their Facebook pages and such, that we've got a major event coming up at Phoenix, which I haven't missed one in 20 years. The ministry has always served there, and our pockets are pretty empty. We could sure use some help. And then go to our webpage, which is ontrackwithjesus.org, and make a donation there. And if the people that we hear from on a weekly basis just donated a $10 bill, it would get us there. And that's all we want to do, is be able to go serve the people that we've always served. You can also find us on Facebook at rev.joebubico, B-U-B-B-I-C-O. I don't even know how you follow me on Twitter. I'm on there. I post on there every day, but I still haven't figured out Twitter. But that's just me. But I'm always available. My email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com, and my phone number is 951-232-7630. Questions, anything. Need prayer, call me, please. God bless you all.
Reverend Joe, God bless you. And one of these days, whenever we meet, I'll help you with that Twitter stuff there, bud. But y'all be safe going to Vegas, and we look forward to getting your feedback next week. Next Tuesday night, Reverend Joe is going to be our focus guest and for the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series there at Vegas. Reverend Joe, thank you very much again, bud. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
God bless you too, Reverend. We'll see you, bud. That was our good friend, Reverend Joe, official reverend of the site. At this time, I'm Stephen Wilson. You know, I've already brought him on, my good friend, co-host from up there in Richmond, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. Richmond, how you doing? Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud?
Yeah, it's a little rainy up here. It's going to stay rainy, and unfortunately, it's going to impact Dover this weekend, and I think you're going to hear a little bit about that when Megan comes on, unfortunately. Joseph and Dustin are going to be up there covering a race weekend for us at Speedway Digest and for FrontStretch.com. So anybody heading out to Dover, bring a boat, bring an umbrella, bring your wader boots because you're going to need it.
Oh, goodness. I hate this rain. Suzanne always posts this little thing on rain on race day, this little whatever she does. But I'm pretty sure the Air Titans are going to be up there, Stephen. I hope so.
They better bring a whole pile of them Air Titans up there because they're going to need them.
Yeah, I know. And I want to thank you, Stephen, for being a good friend and co-host here on the Pit Stop, Tennessee, Stephen Wilson. And I know we've got a lot going on. We've got some breaking news that I've seen you post. Do you want to start with the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series there at New Hampshire, or do you want to start with some of the breaking news that you have?
We'll bring that in on the Sprint Cup Series side when we get to that, but we'll go ahead and start with the UNO H175 up there at New Hampshire Motor Speedway with Austin Dillon out there taking a pole and also winning a race out there. First win for GMS Racing out there since their inception. He was able to claim the win for that team out there for Spencer Gallagher and his dad that started a team a couple of years ago and has brought on a various drivers with support of RCR Racing that put him into the seat this past weekend out there. This was also his first victory in 2015 in the Camping World Truck Series and his first victory there at New Hampshire Motor Speedway in four races in the Camping World Truck Series. Matt Crafton, your second place finisher out there. Johnny Fassader finished third, and John Hunter Nemechek was your highest finishing rookie yet again after backing up his first win at Chicagoland the weekend prior. Eric Jones still on the roll, but Matt Crafton nipped away a little bit at his points lead by, and it's just down to 7 points heading into this weekend out there in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point, Steve. I know we can that could be a whole other show that we could talk about John Hunter Nemechek. But let's see what the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series winner there at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, Austin Dillon, and crew chief Shane Huffman and owner Maurice Gallagher had to say in the media center.
Okay, we have our winner and winning crew chief of the Uno 175, Austin Dillon. His seventh victory in 67 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Crew Chief Shane Huffman, this is his first victory in the series. And very shortly, we'll have Maurice Gallagher, the winning truck owner, and this is also his first victory in the series. Austin, tell us a little bit about how things went out there today.
Well, heck of a weekend. First of all, you know, we knew we had a fast truck, and when you have a truck like that, you don't want to give it away in any way, shape, or form, because we won everything this weekend, from both practices to all three qualifying sessions. And then to finish off the race, it means a lot, because it's really easy to give these things away even when you're the fastest truck. So impressive day. Shane made good adjustment there to go ahead and free us up, and we communicated well the whole time. And another good call to stay out on tires, not come to get four when we knew the 51 had to get four. That was a good day for us. Especially for Ream Chevy.
Shane, tell us a little bit of how the race went from atop the pit box.
Well, it seemed like track position was pretty important, really, there. We got stuck behind the four there on the restart, and we could run up to him, you know, from four or five truck lengths back, but once we got to him, we just couldn't quite make the pass. So made the decision to stay out right there at the very end a little easier. I knew if we just got clean air and got away on the restart there, we'd be okay. But I just want to, you know, this is a big day for Mr. Gallagher here. He's put a lot of effort and financial support into this team, and you know, a lot of hard work and effort over the last, you know, couple of years, and it's just great to be able to reward him with a win.
Okay, we're joined by the winning team owner, Maurice Gallagher. First victory in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Your feeling about being a winner in a NASCAR National Series?
Thank you all. Who doesn't like being a winner? Somebody raise their hand. Momentous day today, 500 wins. Austin, can't thank him enough. And, you know, the whole Childress organization, we had a really good relationship over the last couple of years. They've been, helped us a great deal. Austin, his brother Ty, coming down, working with us, you know, particularly with the 33 truck. We thought we were good enough to win. We knew we were, and we just needed to push it over. So Shane and the team did a great job. Mike Beam back home, a lot of aero work, a lot of efforts to really bring the quality up, and can't say enough for the team effort to get this done.
Okay, Michael.
Michael Vega, Boston Globe. Can you just tell us how meaningful it is for you to record your first victory of the season, first at New Hampshire, in a truck series race where they're commemorating the 500th, you know, race of the series?
Yeah, it's very special. You know, I owe a lot to the truck series for getting me to where I am today. I've had a lot of success qualifying, racing, and winning in the truck series. So it taught me a lot about how to race hard when you have to. And it's definitely a fun series to be in. I'm thankful for it. Hopefully we can have thousands of races in the truck series. I've enjoyed all mine. So it was a fun day. Like I said, I want to thank GMS for the effort that they put in. They built a wonderful truck, and it's awesome to sit up here with Spencer and Maury to get the first win, and then 500th of Camper World Truck Series is very cool.
Steven, would you like to touch a little bit about that 500th win there for Austin Dillon and the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series, or anything else you want to talk about that in that interview, Bud? You got the floor.
Yeah, over the last, you know, all these years out there, 500 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series events out there have been run. Just came this weekend there at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Just a mile marker there for that series and the development that it's had for all these years, starting in the Super Truck Series out there in the Southwest. First race was originally ran at Phoenix International Raceway, and you know, we've seen how it's progressed over the years, starting a lot in the short tracks out there and now they run on so such a variety of tracks, and it's just really just a mile marker to see how that series has developed, brought so many different drivers and champions in as a feeder series into what is now the Xfinity and Sprint Cup series. And it's just great that NASCAR has that truck series in there, because I think what a lot of people will agree about that if you take a look and watch a Camping World Truck Series event, it's probably one of the most competitive series out there with a lot of those guys that compete week in and week out.
Yeah, exactly, Stephen. And I'll roll on over into the NASCAR Xfinity Series, race number 27, the 47th annual Visit MyrtleBeach.com 300. And your race winner was Ryan Blaney. This is at the Kentucky Speedway. Ryan Blaney won the fourth annual Visit MyrtleBeach.com 300, his fourth victory in 41 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. This is his second victory and eighth top 10 finish in 2015. This is his second victory and fourth top 10 finish in five races at Kentucky Speedway. Ty Dillon finished second, posted his third top 10 finish in four races at Kentucky Speedway. It is his 20th top 10 finish in 2015. Reagan Smith finished third, posted his third top 10 finish in 11 races at Kentucky Speedway. Darrell Wallace Jr. finished ninth, was the highest finishing rookie. Chris Buescher still leads the points, standings by 19 over Ty Dillon. And this is going to get really good. I mean, you know, Stephen, failed to qualify was Mario Gosson. Time of the race was 2 hours, 44 minutes and 6 seconds. Average speed was 110.238 miles an hour. Margin of victory was 0.519 seconds. And Stephen, if we can, let's see. Let me find my button. Let's see what the winner of the race at Kentucky Speedway, NASCAR Xfinity Series, Ryan Blaney and crew chief Greg Irwin had to say.
All right, we're going to continue with our post-race media availability for tonight's Visit MyrtleBeach.com 300 here at Kentucky Speedway. And we've now been joined by our race-winning team, driver Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 22 Discount Tire Ford, and his race-winning crew chief, Greg Irwin. And Ryan, we'll start with you. Second win of this season, the 22 won here earlier this year with, I believe, Brad Keselowski behind the wheel. Just talk a little bit about the team and your ability to, you know, come in and to drive at particular races, but also not just come in and compete, but actually walk away with victories as well. So talk a little bit about that, and especially here at Kentucky Speedway, where you won, I believe, your first NASCAR Xfinity Series race here as well, too.
Yeah, you know, this team, not really only this team, this whole Penske organization has been really strong at Kentucky ever since we started coming here for the past handful of years. It's just something about these rough racetracks that really suits them well, and they do a great job of bringing great race cars to the track. And I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to drive them a couple times here at this racetrack, and it's just something really special to do. So I don't think there's any better way to rebound, you know, from the difficult week we had last time, or last week, to go out and to win the race. So just something that they do great to be so dominant at a racetrack. Honestly, I've never seen a team be so dominant at a racetrack. It feels like every time we come here, the 22 car is one of the favorites to win, and usually does it. So it's just really neat, and I'm really lucky to be behind the wheel.
And Greg, you get to call the shots from atop the pit box, but just talk a little bit about your vantage point, especially knowing that, you know, depending on what race week it is, you can have different drivers in there, whether it be Brad or Joey or Ryan. Talk a little bit about just the team and how they're able to rally every week, you know, no matter who's specifically behind the wheel.
Yeah, the 22 car, you know, you really can't say enough to be able to do what we're doing and perform at the level we perform as a single car. Entry in the Xfinity Series is really a lot more difficult than people think, because we don't really have the opportunity to try things differently across several of our cars. So you know, a lot of credit goes to the you know, the engineering support that we have back at the shop, and you know, the ability of our people that specifically work on the 22 cars to kind of put the hours in and do what it takes to bring the pieces that we bring to the racetrack every weekend. And you know, as Ryan touched on, I'm glad to be able to kind of shut the book on last weekend. It was you know, was somewhat very uncharacteristic of us to have an issue like we had last week, and you know, we all showed up Monday morning bright and early with our working hats on, ready to come here and make sure that you know, those things don't happen to us again. And you know, thankfully, I told him when we got here, I said, you know, I watched you win this race in 2013 when I was with Sam, so I know you got it in you. And certainly those last couple of restarts at the end, you know, they kind of reminded me exactly of the situation we had at Iowa earlier this year. And the guys clutch on restarts, man. It's pretty awesome to be a part of it. And I'm just glad this program could get back in the victory lane, because, man, that's where they belong.
And, Ryan, you won a couple of things tonight. You get to take home an authentic jukebox. So you get the pleasure of adding some tunes to that. But then also the team won a trip to Myrtle Beach through the race sponsor, so which should be a lot of fun. But just talk a little bit about kind of the neat assets here that we have at Kentucky Speedway that you get to take home as the race winner.
Yeah, that's awesome that Myrtle Beach steps up and gives trips to the whole team. That's really, really cool. It might be a little bit cold down there when we're able to go in December or something like that, but heck, it's a free trip. We're going to be really excited to go. And I was so jealous of Brad for winning the jukebox earlier this year. I walked in victory lane and congratulated him, and I just saw this awesome jukebox, and I was so jealous. And especially when we finished third in the truck race, it was so close. So to close it out and get one, that's something really cool that they've done, at a really neat trophy. And I think that's really cool, and these guys should be really proud of.
All right, we'll go ahead and take questions for Ryan or Greg. If you have one, please state your name and affiliation, and we'll start up front.
Kyle Magda, Race Chance Online. Ryan, can you just talk about the restarts tonight? Was it to be a sitting duck if you were leading, or was it better to be in the second runner? What was it like from your viewpoint?
Honestly, you were at a disadvantage if you were leading, I felt like, all night. You were on defense, and it was so hard to keep the guys behind you. Just this racetrack invites people to go, you know, up to the third or fourth lane through one and two and can get to your outside. Heck, twice I was middle of four wide on the back straightaway, twice tonight, and that's just guys being really aggressive. It's the easiest place to gain spots is on restarts, and guys can be really aggressive. And that honestly worried me, because we weren't the best on restarts. It took our car about 10 laps to get going on new tires, and you know, we lost the lead on the second to last restart with the 7, and then luckily he kind of threw us a bone and pushed us the last restart. So it's just really a matter of who can get big runs or who's going to push you the hardest is what these restarts are, a mile and a half. And luckily the last one, the money one, played out for us.
Steve, any thoughts on that? Made it to the interview there from Kentucky Speedway, some NASCAR experiences with Ryan Blaney and crew chief Greg Irwin. That young kid's got something going on, bud.
Yeah, he does. And when we look back at the event, it was the same way that it was when the Xfinity cars and the Sprint Cup Series cars were there in the spring also, when they were there in the summer. You know, those cars were out there. There was passing all throughout the field. They've done a heck of a job out there in the way that facility has really come in and the way that they race that facility now. There was 3-4 wide throughout the entire pack, not only for the lead, but mid-pack also. So it made for a very exciting event that those guys were out there running around that track. And it's really exciting to see that at a mile-and-a-half racetrack, and I think the fans are really starting to enjoy some of that with the way that the cars are now performing like that. Hopefully next year, as we get into the Sprint Cup Series, that we'll start seeing that at other facilities. But I think you can take away from Kentucky this year that's kind of like the marker point of the year that has really shown what can happen with these cars and how the racing is going to improve over the next couple of years as the changes continue to be made and how the tracks start to wear in a little bit better.
Yeah, and you know, you and I have talked about that new low downforce package and everything. But Stephen, we've got from ABC 3340, meteorologist Megan Thomas, she's going to come on and give us our race weekend forecast for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series at the Monster Mile. I've nicknamed her Mother Nature. Let's welcome Megan Thomas in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Megan, how you doing tonight, sweetie?
I am doing good. So sorry I'm calling in so late. I was telling Suzanne I got distracted watching a new television show called Quantico, and I lost track of time.
That's okay, Megan. We know you get, you know, we get tied up too. But before you give us the race weekend forecast at Dover International Speedway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race this weekend, my good friend, CEO and co-host, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson, he's up in just outside of Richmond, Virginia. He said they're getting some rain up there. Stephen, you want to talk to Megan for a second?
Yeah, I had already said when we came on that it's raining up here. It's supposed to rain all the way through, and I told everybody if they're heading to Dover this weekend, make sure you bring a boot, some wader boots, and an umbrella because you're sure going to need it with this
tropical
storm.
And that's what I was going to tell you guys. It looks like it's going to be a wet weekend up there.
Yeah, well, Dover is not the place you want to be because out there on that peninsula and out there, it is not really the nicest place to be at. But, you know, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series is running out there along with the K&N Series and the Xfinity Series. But we're going to have to battle the rain all weekend long, unfortunately. And this is what the hand has been dealt us. But go on and give us the bad news for the weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I just looked at several different model runs. So when I look at the weather, I look at, you know, GFS, the North American model, and different things like that. And I looked at the Global Forecasting System, which is the GFS, and I looked at Dover, Delaware, and I found that the best chance for rain is going to be on, well, the heaviest part of rain. It'll probably rain much of the weekend. However, like, the best part of rain is looking like it'll get it'll be wet between around, you know, 3 a.m. on Saturday through about 9 a.m., and then it backs off a little bit, but then another batch of rain gets here right around maybe 10 a.m. on Sunday, and then that lasts throughout the entire afternoon. So if you're headed to the race this weekend, just go ahead and bring the umbrella, and might want to pack the patience because you never know. There could be some delays with the race.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what it sounds like it's going to be out there this weekend. I'm right across the bay from where Dover, Delaware is. So if anybody starts floating across the bay, I'll have to go get my boat and go save them all.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. It looks like it's going to be a wet weekend.
Okay, and Megan, thank you again. Stephen, thank you for that. I know you wanted to talk to Megan and see that, but Megan, go ahead, and which I know y'all talked a little bit about that, but if you want to give the weather forecast for Dover, Delaware, and let us know about Central Alabama here too.
Absolutely. If you're headed up on Saturday, it's going to be cloudy, and it's probably going to be rainy for the most part, and the same sort of deal on Sunday. They have knocked the chance for rain down to about 40% on Sunday. I think it might be more early in the morning than late in the afternoon, so hopefully that's what they're thinking as well. Temperatures will be in the 70s on Sunday. The high is only going to be 70 on Sunday under a cloudy sky, and then dropping to 56 Sunday night. So you might want to bring the jacket and the umbrella if you're going to be up there this weekend. And then for those of you who are staying in Alabama like us, and we have a very pleasant weekend on tap. Temperatures will be in the low 70s, and overnight lows will be in the 50s. So it's going to be pretty nice with no chance of rain.
Megan, I love that. I'm glad we're getting to some cooler weather. Did you see Dave and James yesterday? They both had suspenders on again. I started to take a picture and send it to you, but I'm pretty sure
they've
seen it.
No,
yeah,
they did,
Megan. But Megan, I know your time is limited, but I want to thank you for being the official meteorologist for the Pit Stop in Spain on Blog Talk Radio. And you got the floor, Megan. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media.
Absolutely. My Facebook is Meteorologist Megan Thomas, and then you can find me on Twitter at MegTom_WX.
Megan, thank you very much. And we'll talk to you next week, sweetie. Have a good one. Be safe.
Well, maybe not next week. I'll be on vacation.
Okay, you're going to be on vacation. Well, okay, I want to let you know the week October 16th, we have Grant Lynch, Talladega Super Speedway president, coming on, and which I know it's going to be a week out or 2 weeks out before his race, but I'm pretty sure he's going to want to talk to you whenever we bring him on, if that's okay.
You got it.
Okay. Megan, take care, and I'll let Stephen do the weather next week since you're not going to make it.
You got it.
All right, we'll see you, Megan. Take care, sweetie.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, Steve, that was Megan Thomas. I mean, she's on thing. We're waiting on our bottom of our guest, Scott Zipadelli. You want to go ahead and start with the cup stuff, bud? And because I know we got a lot to talk about.
Sure. Sprint Cup Series out there at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, Sylvania 300 with Matt Kenseth winning. Out there punching his ticket into the contender round out there, his 36th victory in 572 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series events. This is his fifth victory and 18th top 10 finish in 2015 and his second victory there at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Denny Hamlin was second place finisher. Joey Logano finished third. Brett Moffitt was your 27th in your highest finishing rookie. And Matt Kenseth leading the points by 6 over Denny Hamlin. Unfortunately, yet again, Kevin Harvick having troubles. This week, he was leading the race, 2 laps to go, ran out of fuel while trying to stretch it on an 88-lap fuel run, and could not make it. He finished 21st, and he is all but eliminated if he cannot win this weekend at Dover. That is his only way in. Per NASCAR statistics, he follows Jamie McMurray, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kyle Busch, Paul Menard, and Clint Bowyer. They are the only ones that going into this weekend that are controlling their own destiny by winning this weekend.
Yeah, and Stephen, I'm glad you posted all that Chase scenario Clint stuff out there on SpeedwayDigest.com. I finally got to look at it this afternoon. And I mean, this is getting crazy. I mean, it's gonna get real crazy. Get Dover International Speedway. Let's see what Matt Kenseth and crew chief Jason Ratcliffe and owner Jay Gibbs had to say in the media center at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
All right, we'll go ahead and start our post race availability for today's Sylvania 300. We are now joined by race winner Matt Kenseth and crew chief Jason Ratcliffe. Matt, you won today at New Hampshire. You are guaranteed a spot now in the contender round. Talk a little bit about advancing on in the chase.
Yeah, I mean, we started off last week with a pretty decent week and, you know, felt good about our run today, you know, and our chances to advance. But really, just pretty darn excited to win the race, you know. So these are all big races. They're hard to win. You ever get in a position to win one, you want to do everything in your power to be able to win it, no matter what the consequences are for the points. So I got to be honest, I haven't really thought about the points or chase or anything. Just going to really enjoy this win and look forward to going to Dover next week. I love going there, and hopefully we'll have a good car there where we can be up front and be in the mix again.
All right, and Jason, this is, as Matt alluded to, this is the fifth victory this year for this team. Talk about the team's performance today and the win.
Well, it was, you know, just great execution. Today, Matt did a great job of methodically, you know, moving forward and giving us good feedback on the car. The guys did a great job on pit road of, you know, at least maintaining our spots every time we came down. And this is a tough place to call a race because track position, you know, you got to get it. And then when you get it, you know, you need to keep it. And the cautions are so hard to predict when they're going to come. And, you know, a couple guys were on one strategy and they were going to be hard to beat. I mean, there was a couple cars there today that were really, really strong, and we needed to do something different. So it worked our way, and everyone, you know, like I said, executed perfectly. And there at the end, the car was at its best, and Matt was able to, you know, put the pressure on the four and bring home the victory.
All right. We are also joined by our race-winning car owner, Joe Gibbs. Joe, you now have 2 teams.
Thank you. Nobody else in here is here.
Yeah.
two teams now advancing to the contender round. Talk about the win today.
I'm just really, really proud. As I've said before, I wished everybody back home could be a part of this. We got all of our people back there that have worked so hard, and JD and the whole crew, the front office, and then everybody back there works on the cars. I know the guys here really appreciate them because it's been really what's got us back where we can compete and be up front for wins. I think is a lot of hard work, and it really started back in 14 when we were having so much of a problem. A thrill for us to be here. We all know that there's a lot of excitement because you're going in a little three-race playoffs, and all it takes is one mistake. Kyle today felt awful for him, cut a tire down, and it shows you how things can turn very quickly. So it's a thrill for us to have two cars in, and we just need to focus this next week on Carl and Kyle. But I really appreciate the fans here. We have a lot of sponsors, a lot of hospitalities here because so many of our corporations, this is a big part of the country for them. I appreciate that, and we love coming here, and it was a great day for us, and Lord's bless us with a great group of guys.
All right, and with that, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation. We'll start up front and then go back to Bob.
Terrell Cubbian with the Portsmouth Herald. This kind of goes out to any of you, but when the team cars have been really good and really dominant a lot of tracks lately, and then today you kind of made the right calls and you did different things to win. If you're winning in all these different ways, what does it say about match chances, but really the entire Gibbs operation?
Well, it's, you know, it's like any sport when things are going well. Provides a lot of opportunity. So, you know, when you have fast race cars and, you know, I've been asked a number of times this year what's different this year, and the answer is everything's different. I mean, every department has been working really hard. The race cars are fast. The engine program is phenomenal. The pit crews are – it's just all of it. And when you have that, you open a lot of doors for a lot of opportunity, and I think that's why you're seeing success in a lot of different ways. So, you know, hats off to everyone at JGR. We just, you know, we have 8 more races. We got to keep doing what we've been doing. There's some strong contenders out there, very competitive. Yeah, it's been a great season so far, and hats off to everyone at JGR.
All right, we'll go to Bob.
Bob Pockers, ESPN. Coach, can you just kind of, are you more excited for Matt or more worried about Kyle?
I think in sports it's kind of crazy. It's the person we're having the most trouble. It seems like that's where you pull the hardest. Matt, he's in. So he's out. We go to Kyle. It's not really that way because, as everybody knows, Dollar General, our sponsor, is such a huge deal for them. It's a thrill. We called everybody there. It's Toyota, our partner. This works so hard with us. But I do think you know, it's hard to leave the racetrack when you know you had one car that just had a real tough time today. And we care so much about those guys, too. They've been with us for a long time. They're one of the longest sponsors Mars is in our sport. So we'll just focus on that and try and do everything we can to try and get Carl and Kyle in next week. But this is a thrill for us today. You know, get that many victories, and particularly in this sport is so tough. And it's just great to see Matt today. I thought it was a great race on he and Jason's part because they kind of sat around there, fifth, sixth, somewhere in there, kept working their way forward and kept getting the car better and better. And at the end, I think it was real good. So, hey, it's great to be a part of something like this.
Steven, you want to touch a little bit about it on that media center interview there with Gibbs Racing and stuff? I mean, 11 to 18, I mean, sorry, I don't mean to say that. The 11 and the 20 are locked in after their 2 wins, and we're going to Dover this weekend. And, can you hear me, Steven?
Yeah, bud, you cut out there on me for a second. Yeah, but, you know, we talked about this in the summer stretch with Joe Gibbs Racing, where they just came out really, really strong and how that they were going to be really hard to beat coming into the chase. They have 13 wins at this point in the season. Your top three in the points, Matt Kenseth, Hamlin, and Edwards, have 9 wins combined already. Kenseth and Hamlin are already locked in going into the contender round. You've got Carl Edwards, which is almost, you know, on a couple occasions, been able to pull it off here the last 2 weeks if it wouldn't have just been for just a little slight bit of bad luck on their part. But, you know, he has the opportunity. All he needs to do this week is go into Dover, finish 32nd, and he's in. You know, Kyle Busch is the one that has to win. He's the only one, unfortunately, that worked so hard to get into that Magic 30 spot after missing all those events. And now he's back in a position where he's got to win in order to move on. It's going to be inherently tough, especially with the weather coming in this weekend. I'm sure there's going to be very abbreviated practices. I'm sure qualifying is going to be rained out. So there's going to be a lot of contention in that garage on what's going to happen this weekend. Then when we get into the race, if it gets started on Sunday, if it doesn't get started on Sunday, if it gets moved to Monday, you know, there's so many variables coming into this weekend. You know, and then you've got to contend with other guys like Jamie McMurray, Dale Earnhardt, Paul Menard, Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer. All these guys are going to be fighting for that magic spot to try and win that event. You know, what's going to happen this weekend? It's going to be complete chaos with everything going on in this first cutoff race, and that's assured. But, you know, we've continued to talk about Joe Gibbs over the summer stretch and coming into the chase. They're going to continue to be talked about on these three drivers, especially Hamlin and Kenseth going through. You know, the sleeper guy who continues that we talk about week in and week out is Ryan Newman. His guy still again this season, no wins, but he's consistent. He's sitting sixth in the points. He's got 5 top fives and only in 14 top tens. But he's a guy that doesn't seem to need to win to continue moving himself throughout the chase. And I think that's what we're also going to have to watch for going through this also. I believe that we're going to see him again in Homestead this year. And he might be that one guy that gets into Homestead and kind of puts himself in that position where we're going to see him or somebody like him battle against these guys at Homestead on that last lap, the last handful of laps with no wins and possibly even maybe shake this up a little bit at that final checkered flag.
Yeah. And Stephen, we've got our guest on the show, crew chief of the number 11 Toyota Tundra, Red Horse Racing for Ben Kennedy, the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. We've got Mr. Scott Zippadil. Let's bring Scott in the pit stop with Tennis Payne and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Scott,
that's
how you doing tonight,
bud? Introduction there.
Thank you very much, Scott. Thanks again for coming back on the show. I know we had you on the show, I don't know, a year or so ago, but thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule and coming on, bud. We appreciate it.
No problem. That's quite an introduction you guys have.
Well, thank you very much. And Scott, my co-host, Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. I mean, we got a lot going on. You know, we were talking cup stuff there, but Ben, this is his second full-time season, I think, and he's doing really well. I mean, you know, you can't take nothing away from him. I mean, you know, Eric Jones is showing up going out there, but Ben is doing really well in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Do you think he has a lot of pressure on him, Scott, from his family background? Or, I mean, I just want to throw that out there.
You know, I think he has a lot of pressure on himself from himself, actually. You know, his family, obviously, you know, they know racing. So, I don't see a lot of pressure from his family. The only pressure I see from the immediate family is, hey, if you're going to do this for a living, we got to figure out how we're going to do it for a living. You're going to have to find your sponsors. You're going to have to eat, sleep, and drink it, and you're going to have to, you know, performance is going to have to improve consistently and see where it goes from there. But any young guy like that puts pressure on himself when you see a young talent like Eric Jones and, you know, there's a lot of young kids like that that are just, you know, even Joe Nemechek's kid, I mean, he won a race already. You know, it's pressure just in that alone.
Yeah, I understand, Scott. I mean, there's pressure whether you're in the NASCAR Camper Royal Truck Series, Xfinity Series, or the Cup, or just racing a dirt car. Todd, I'm Scott. I want to introduce you to my good friend Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Steven, you got the floor, bud.
Hi, Steven.
You know, and hey, how's it going tonight? You know, at the Camper World Truck Series, it's so inherently hard, and and I know this is inherently hard against all the series, and we can talk sponsors and the difficulties all day and all night. And I know you guys over at Red Horse Racing, you guys have put together so many different sponsorship deals to try and keep, you know, everything together over there. And I know Local Motors has come on the car, on the truck to sponsor Ben throughout the year. But, you know, when it comes to somebody like Ben Kennedy, and we've talked about this a lot with other people that have family names a lot of times. From your perspective, when you see this, when he goes and he has to try and dig deep in there to really work these sponsorship deals or to bring things together with partnerships, are you seeing a difference when he goes and he has to make these connections himself, or the team has to go and make the connections? And are these sponsors looking at him just a little bit differently over somebody that may come from a racing background, but not be from a particular background like Ben Kennedy does?
It's a good question. And to make it simple, it's not any easier to get a sponsor for Ben Kennedy as it is for, you know, Kyle Larson, who I was with last year. It's equally as difficult. And I think right now the hard part of getting sponsorship in the Xfinity and the Truck Series is basically the TV. I think it's hurt our viewership. It's hurt our the Joyce Julius numbers, which corporate sponsors, they like to look at, you know, how much time you get on TV, because we're not on the same channels we were last year, and some viewers have to buy a certain channel to see the race. But it's hard, period, to get a sponsor today. I mean, it's just difficult to go and say, we need $3.5 million to race a truck for 23 races. And they're like, race a truck? Race a what? What do you mean? You know? Or we need $6 million to race an Xfinity car, or $15+ million to race a mid-pack cup car. It's just hard as you can imagine to even get past the first meeting to lay out your lay out what you can do and lay out your portfolio to them. But you would think with Ben's lineage and his connection with NASCAR and all that, it would open some doors and be a little bit easier. But honestly, I haven't seen a big advantage of that.
And One of the questions that, you know, a lot of people ask is that Ben Kennedy had a rather horrific wreck earlier on this season. And for a guy like him that maybe not have seen something like that before or experienced something like that, how much has that changed his driving style and you being on top of the box and being able to coach him through an experience like that to better prepare him going forward in the Truck Series and preparing him for his driving career going forward, or to move on to either the Xfinity Series or the Sprint Cup Series if he so wishes?
You know, that's another good question. That has definitely slowed our momentum that we were on early in the year. We had really good speed almost everywhere we went. We had a couple of really difficult races where we struggled. But Kentucky was a really good race for us. We had two pit row penalties, and we still had a good solid. And he was on his way to pass for sixth when that wreck happened with, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 laps to go, maybe. And that has hurt us. It was one, it was a really good truck. It was probably my favorite truck in the stable. Two, I think it just slowed our momentum down. It took so much, there was so many conversations about safety, and NASCAR kept our truck for several weeks to inspect it and go through the crash and make sure everything was safe or look at any kind of improvements they could make to their to the speedways or the vehicles. And it was a distraction for a couple of weeks for sure. And then, you know, the media brings it up, and it slowed us down, but I think slowly we're getting back to where we, our speed's coming back, and he's getting more aggressive as we go towards the end of the year here.
And Scott, this is Tim. I'm sorry, Stephen. Go ahead.
that's okay. My final question to you, Scott, is, you know, over the years NASCAR has changed, and you've been a part of so many different changes we've seen it across all three series out there. It's hard not only for the teams, the crew chiefs, the crews that are on the ground to keep up with this weekly. Sometimes, you know, the changes can come from race to race sometimes, and you guys are just, as you know, the sponsorship comes into play. Everything comes into play. You guys get back from a race and the rule could change, and then you got to rebuild a truck, rebuild a part, or whatever it may be. What from your perspective do you feel can be better done to help out the teams in general so that there's not as many changes throughout the racing season that incur so many costs to a team that would help you guys out so that you're not having to seek the level of funding? And I know in the truck series they've gone with some of the sealed engines and things of that nature to try and reduce the cost. But obviously, you know, you're still looking for, as you've said, $3+ million to fund a truck throughout the season. And for some teams that just doesn't, you know, cut it. You can't get past the first meeting. So where should we start looking next? And safety obviously is not a place that we should look at, but there's other areas that you as a crew chief could probably touch on a little bit better.
You know, those are not popular conversations with either the owners or NASCAR or both. When we sit down and discuss what's our budget look like and what can we do to allocate money for better racing or closer racing at home, less travel, less time on the road, fences for the team. And two things really stick out, which are not, they're not popular conversations. One is the dirt race in Eldora. And then the other one is one road course race. Now it sounds good when you look at the schedule and you watch TV because they're really good races. But what happens for us as a small independent truck series team is, and goes across the board for all the truck series, is you have to build a road course truck. Okay. Now, when you sell a $3 million sponsor to, you know, Local Motors or any sponsor out there, you have to prepare yourself a really good backup truck also, because anything could happen in the first practice, and you can't just start the race and expect to run, you know, take your backup truck out and run 20th and think everybody's going to be happy with that performance. So that means you have to build two trucks. Now, two trucks cost, let's just say they're $40,000 a piece, because we build our stuff in-house, and we could probably build them cheaper than other people. But probably between $60,000 per vehicle, no engine, no driveline. I'm going to have two of those trucks sitting in the shop all year, and I only use them one time. Okay? And then we go to a dirt race. We go all the way to Eldora, and we run a dirt race, which is a lot of fun. And it's a great race to watch on TV. But when we come home, our trucks are completely destroyed. The bodies are completely knocked off them. They're all, a lot of modifications have been done to them to run the dirt. And we run them one time. And again, we have to change over a truck to have a good backup. So that costs us money, time and materials and money. We're okay with that. I think all the owners would be okay with that if those two races paid more money. But when you go to Eldora and you finish 7th or 8th and you come home with, you know, less money than you would if you raced at Charlotte or maybe Talladega, why would you want to go to those racetracks and race? You know what I mean? Now, if we had two or three road course races, it would make more sense. If we had two dirt races, it would make more sense. But we have one of each. So that would mean you'd have to cut races out of some other, off another racetrack, and then you get into that whole political thing. But those are two ways to cost to cut some money, because the road course definitely costs us more with transmissions on gears and brakes, and the road and the dirt track costs us more because you guarantee that your truck's going to be completely wiped out. Even if you win the race, it's going to be destroyed. So as far as everything else, I think NASCAR is doing a great job with communicating with the teams. We've had a lot of meetings over the past several months about 2016 rule changes, different packages. They've been communicating really, really well with all the teams, which we haven't seen in the past. So I think that's a good thing. When it comes down to it, this is just an expensive sport, and there's really no ways to cut out of it to where we operate cheaper than we operate right now. We're not making a lot of money. We've all taken pay cuts. We're on the road less time. You know, you got to invest in your people and your equipment, and that's where all the money goes.
Scott, I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm going to throw it back over to Tim. I'm sure he's got a couple questions for you. And good luck throughout
nice
the rest of the season.
Thanks, David. And Scott, again, thank you for coming on the show. And I want to change directions if I can. I mean, you know, everybody wants to talk about the drivers. They don't want to talk about the crew chiefs. And I know your brother Greg. You know, he has a good resume. But I want to talk about you, Scott, if I can. I'm going to throw Ben Kennedy off on the side, so don't listeners don't get mad at me. But Scott, I want to know how you got started in the sport, and a little bit about you, if you don't mind, bud.
I started along with my brother. He's a few years older than I am. As young kids, we worked on our uncle's race cars, and my dad built race cars at the house. He used to build engines and build frames and chassis when we were little kids. So kid growing up, it was what we did. We went to the racetrack on Fridays and Saturdays with dad and the family, and we didn't play much stick and ball sports. So the older we got, the more interested we were, and started touring the East Coast with my uncle's modified team. And we both kind of got full-time jobs in racing. I went road racing for a little while with a guy named Lou Rettenmeyer. We worked on Paul Newman's Trans Am team for a few years and did some Busch North racing. I tried some racing myself for 5-6 years. And, you know, just kind of like rolling along one job to the next, trying to improve that resume and get smarter and get the experience we needed to eventually move south. And I followed Greg here. I moved in 1999. I moved here and just kind of worked my way through team to team, really. Basically, I'm a welder, fabricator, mechanic that excelled, and now I'm a crew chief.
Yeah, and Scott, just to throw this out there, I was very fortunate last year when Dan and Eric done that little media center deal. I got to interview both of them, and both of them are class acts. I mean, you know, Ben Kennedy, I mean, you know, he's a class act. Eric is too. But Scott, I want to keep your head up, but I mean, you know.
Well, our performance isn't – our finishes really aren't where we want them to be, and they're not to my expectations or I think Ben's too. We've had some really, really good strong runs that have been fallen short by, you know, a couple of engine issues, quite a few wrecks, and some really bad restarts. I think our weak point right now is the restarts. Ben's getting used to the – truck style restarts. They're pretty chaotic, as you can tell and watch. And you know, our running position usually is a lot different than our finishing position, because it usually comes down to one bad restart, and say we lose 3-4 spots, it's really difficult to make it back up. So we're working real hard on trying to improve all areas on pit road, on the racetrack, and all forms of, you know, of this series, all the different racetracks. And if we can finish the year off and execute like we, like our really good races, I think our realistic goals for the year are to knock some more top fives down, get his confidence up, and build a stronger program for 2016, and not make the same mistakes that we made as a group or individually this year. So Red Horse Racing's working hard on building better trucks. Ben's working hard on what he needs to do. And, you know, if all goes well, we'll be together again next year, and I think we'll have a stronger program than we did this year.
And Scott, the phone line is lit up. Do you have time for like one call before we let you go?
Yeah, you're breaking up for some reason. I can just barely. I hope you can hear me. Okay.
Okay, I can hear me.
Just barely.
All right.
We got a bad signal.
Okay. Well, the guy that I was going to bring on dropped. Scott. Any last thoughts for Scott Cipadelli, crew chief, for Ben Kennedy? We're going to let him go, and we'll get into our other segment. You guys want to say?
No, I don't have anything else for Scott. Just appreciate you coming on the show tonight, and like I said, good luck throughout the rest of the season for you and Ben and everybody over there at Red Horse Racing. I know that I think Tim is going to come out and run the short track up here in Martinsville for the late model race out there. But I did have one other question for you, and I know a lot of people ask this question for the truck series out there. Is, you know, we just finished the 500th event for the truck series, and, you know, one of the things that these guys started with running on a lot of short tracks, and, you know, it's kind of something that we've gotten away from over the years. And I know earlier in the season, NASCAR, and to your point, NASCAR, and there were some rumors about possibly bringing a second dirt track on, maybe even at Knoxville, I believe, was one of the rumors. Whether that comes true or not, who knows? But, you know, when you start looking at some of the tracks that we run on, is it time to start bringing the trucks to some of the shorter tracks? Or do you feel the schedule is kind of aligned with companion races at this point that bring in the best crowds and the best TV time?
That's one of those questions that it's a good question, and it's a difficult question, because yes, you want these younger drivers. The truck series is supposed to be a feeder series to move up to the other series. I mean, that's what it was designed to do, kind of, I think. And that's, you get a young driver and you go, okay, you do K&N, let's throw you in some truck races, then we'll go to Xfinity, and then we'll go over to the Cup Series if you can get to that point in your career. But the problem with the truck series now is we run wide open at a lot of places, where when you go to Las Vegas this weekend, we're going to be, and it's going to be cool weather, these guys are going to be wide open. Like, it's going to be who's the bravest, who can trim their truck out the most, take all the down, as much downforce as you can possibly stand as a driver, and go wide open. And they drive good by themselves. You can actually make the truck drive good with taking downforce out and holding it wide open. The problem then is, when you get in a pack, they do not drive very well. They're a complete handful. And it's fun to watch on TV, right? All the fans love it. But for a young driver who's just getting, say, out of, like you just mentioned, Timothy Peters, who ran the Martinsville race, let's take a young guy out of the late model series and put him in a truck. That's a hell of a way to learn how to race, right? So there is definitely a fine line there. And, you know, it costs us money to build trucks just to go to these big mile and a halves, and then we build short track trucks. So I don't know. I'd like to see more short tracks. I'd like to see us go to Richmond. I'd like to see us go to, like, a track like Milwaukee Mile. What a great place to race. It's places with some history. But they're not calling me, asking me where I want to race. You know, they're calling me, telling me you're going to go here. So we just kind of do what's on the schedule, whether we like it or not. And that's kind of the way life is. You just life and racing. You do what you gotta. You have to. But hopefully someday maybe they'll introduce some more, you know, real short track races in there, and make it more exciting. Take the aero platform out of it and let the guys rub some benders and really put a good bumper-to-bumper race on.
I'm with you. I would like to see them come back to Richmond. I remember the days them running Thursday nights out at Richmond. It's actually my home track. I grew up there as a kid watching modifieds and late models and all kinds of stuff when the Sawyers owned the facility. And I've asked Dennis several times when he's going to bring them back, and hopefully maybe one day they will return back to my home track. So
I mean, it's all about those promoters wanting to pay that sanctioning fee and take a chance on selling it on to the TV, you know, because unfortunately the people aren't in the stands anymore. You know, they can watch it from their iPhones, on their boat, at the campground, wherever they are at that particular time. They don't have to stay home and watch a race anymore. So I think it hurts sports altogether. That's the way our life is. That seems the way the world is working, you know.
Yeah, I unfortunately. But Scott, again, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on tonight, and we'll let
Got
you
it.
Get out of here. And like I said, good luck at Las Vegas this weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, so you can hear me now. That was Scott Cipollelli, crew chief number 11, Toyota Tundra, for beginning. You got me now, but...
I think Tim is actually breaking up a little bit, so I'm going to send everybody off out of here tonight. I want to appreciate everybody listening in tonight to the Pit Stop Radio, and we'll be back again next week. Dover, Delaware this weekend with the Xfinity Series going to take on to the track Saturday afternoon, and the final cutoff for the Sprint Cup Series with for Sunday afternoon with the AAA 400, a little after 1 o'clock there at Dover. If your truck series will be at Las Vegas this weekend also. So we'll be back next week, get you all wrapped up from everything that happened with everybody getting into the contender round that'll start next week. I appreciate everybody tuning in tonight, and everybody have a good night. Thanks a lot.
With a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame, access. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. Shifted on so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. So I put my hands up to play that song for butterflies fly away. Nodding my head like yeah, moving my hips like yeah. Got my hands up to play my song. We know I'm gonna be okay. Yeah, it's a party in the USA. Yeah, it's a party in the USA. Get to the club in my taxi cab. Everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girl.